years since the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, is coming. And unfortunately, only a few people were ready to see him. Now, Jesus has told us he's coming back, right? And so we remember, you know, every Christmas we say, okay, yeah, Jesus is coming, and he is coming back again. So we remember week by week as we approach Christmas how he came the first time, we should be turning our hearts to receive him when he comes back again. So this week we have our tutoring. We've got a couple more weeks, right? Yeah. And we have Women's Day Bible study. And we have a gift of this week. Yep, youth program on Friday. Right? Oh, you know what? It also helps. Is that, I can't put her out over there.
So there we go now. Okay, good. Because now it's the stuff that matters. Oh, good. Thanks, Charlotte. So one of the things, this was something I remember when I was a freshman in Bible college, somebody asking me about, you know, war and you know, should Christians participate in war? Should we fight, you know, military battles and that kind of stuff? And they used David and the Old Testament battles as an example of God calling people to war. And actually, in 2 Samuel, chapter 8 and chapter 10 is all filled with David fighting battles. And you know, it's like some people get confused. Like, how come, you know, they did that? How come they went in and they killed a lot of people, right? And why don't we do that, right? And there's a reason why we don't do that. Why are we different, right? Some people think that God changed. And we know something for certain. God never changes. God never changes. So that can't be it. It can't be that there's an Old Testament God and a New Testament God, right? So why is David different than us, right? Why did David fight so much? And why, I mean, we'll see. Some of it was ruthless, hard, you know. And why don't Christians battle the same way as David? Why do we fight in a different manner altogether? We're going to explain all that in this talk. So this is 2 Samuel 8. It says, after this, and this is after the ark came into Jerusalem, and God gave David the promise that he would be, you know, the father of the Messiah, who would be the great king that would live forever. He says, you know, after that, David defeated the Philistines and subdued them. And David took Metheg-Ava out of the hand of the Philistines. And he defeated Moab and measured them with a line, making them lie down on the ground, two lines measured to be put to death, and one line to be spared. And the Moabites became servants of David and brought tribute. Now here, this is the brutality of this war. Is, you know, David, he attacks the Philistines, and we know David started doing this when he was a child, right? Goliath of Gath, right? The giant. David was just a boy, and he goes out, and he says, you're coming at me with a spear and a sword. I'm coming at you in the name of the Lord. And he fought Goliath, and he won. And he cut off his head, and he walked around with that head all day long. Sounds brutal. Here, David lines guys down on the ground, and you know, these two rows, you die. And the third row, you're spared. Right? That's brutal. I mean, if somebody did that in war today, they would say it's a war crime. Right? And this is serious stuff that David is involved in doing. And David won a name for himself, and when he returned, he slew 18,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. And he put garrisons in Edom. And throughout all Edom, he put garrisons. And all the Edomites became David's servants. And the Lord gave victory to David wherever he went. Now, here's the thing. God is behind what David's doing. And that sounds like, wait a minute. You know, I mean, it sounds bloodthirsty. It sounds vengeful. Sounds rough. And it says, the Lord was with David. He gave David victory wherever he went. So David reigned over all Israel, and David administered justice and equity to all his people. Now, just so you get a picture of what's going on, here's a map. And first, he defeats the Philistines. The area actually they're fighting right now in Gaza, that's used to always be Philistine land, that little strip of land there. So David fought the Philistines there. And then he went down and he fought in Moab. And then he fought Edomites. And so you can see what he's doing. He's going around to all the territory around the land of Israel, and he's subduing all the enemies. Now, if you know the book of Judges, it's that these same peoples would come in and they'd raid Israel. They'd take their stuff. They'd weaken them. They'd fight them all the time. But David is under this great power and authority, and he defeats every one of these nations. And it says about them, they became the servants of David. Now, here's more battles. It says David defeated Hadadezer, the son of Rehob, the king of Zoah, and he went to restore his power at the river Euphrates. There he hamstrung their horses, thus disabling their chariots, and he fought and defeated the Syrians in Damascus, and he put a garrison in Aram, and they also paid tribute to David. So here he's fighting in Aram. Aram was often an enemy. Damascus was often an enemy of Israel. And that was, you know, a big part of the Old Testament was Aram fighting. And again, a lot of battles, a lot of fighting going on. And then he goes to war, and Aram is actually Syria, and he goes to war against Ammon and Syria. When Joab saw that the battle was set against him, both front and rear, he chose some of the picked men of Israel and arrayed them against the Syrians. What happened was Joab goes out to meet the Ammonites. What happened? David sent some ambassadors to the Ammonites. And he goes out there, the ambassadors go, and they're supposed to make a treaty with them. They went there with good intention. And what happened, the people that were advising the king said, these guys are coming to spy you out. They're tricking you. Don't let these guys deceive you. And so they shaved off half their beards and cut their robes off so their back ends were exposed, and sent them out in shame. And David told them they could stay in Jericho until their beards grew back, right? And so anyway, you know, this enraged David. So he sends Joab out with an army, and Joab goes out, and there's the Ammonites on this side, and then behind them, there's the Syrians. So they're surrounded, one on each side. So he splits his army, and he gives half of it to David's nephew, Abishai. And Abishai and that part of the army goes against the Syrians, and Joab goes against the Ammonites, and they both win. Both sides win. So they win victory over the Ammonites and over Syria. And then there was a third battle against Assyria. The Syrians arrayed themselves against David and fought with them, and the Syrians fled before Israel. And David slew of the Syrians the men 700 chariots and 40,000 horsemen. So this is bloody. This is battle. This is war. And this is God doing it. Now I'm going to show you again. Here's what happens, right? So he goes all the way up to the Euphrates. It's not even on that map. It's way, way up high, and it's where, you know, the water source for, you know, the people. So they needed that. And so David goes all the way up there and fights against them. He fights in Damascus, and he puts a garrison. Did that in Edom. He does it here. In other words, I'm putting some of my army right there. You're not going to cause us trouble, right, is what he's doing. And then he goes to fight the Ammonites and the Assyrians. And then he fought the Assyrians in Helium. So all these different battles that David was involved in to protect Israel, to make Israel safe. There's the last one, yeah. To make Israel safe from enemies. And they all began to pay David tribute, which is, if you were a great king, if you were a powerful king, everybody around you paid you, you could call it protection money, right? They paid you money to not attack them and to be at peace with them. And all these kings, all these nations started, you know, paying tribute. Why did God have such a vengeful army and nation as Israel? What was God doing? Well, here, you have to know the Bible. You have to know the Old Testament. This is Genesis chapter 15. And the Lord is speaking to Abraham. And he says, the Lord said to Abraham, know for surety your descendants will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs. Talking about going to Egypt, right? And they will be there. And they will be slaves there and will be oppressed for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on on the nation which they serve, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions. As for yourself, you will go to your fathers in peace, and you shall be buried in good old age. And they shall come back here in the fourth generation, again, 400 years. For the inequity of the Amorites is not yet complete. God is telling Abraham, this is 1,000 years before David was king. He says, Abraham, he says, these people are sinful. And he says, I'm going to wait for 400 years for them to be completely sinful. One of the things that happens when you worship idols, right? And that's what all these nations that we're going to talk about, they're all idolaters. When you worship something else as God, it makes it so God calls them stiff-necked, hard-hearted. They can't hear the word of God. They can't hear what God's doing because they pretty much think, well, I have everything I need. I don't need your word or your God. I have Baal or I have Dagon or whatever the name of their God is. A friend of ours, Greg Beale, wrote a book that says you become what you worship, whether for ruin or reclamation. And that's what it was at. These folks were all idolaters. And they were so bad, they had a god named Molech that they would offer their children in fire. They would take their kids and they would offer in fire. So they were just kind of ruthless. They had all these bad ideas about God in their head. And they could not listen to God. They could not serve God, because they were so ingrained with idolatry. God waited 400 years for them to be ready. And then after that, this is David, is another 600 years from the time Joshua entered the land. So God is judging the Amorites. God's judging them, right? That's what David is. David's not just a king saying, I want power, I want glory, this is all for me. No. He's carrying out God's judgment, God's sentence on the Amorites. That's what God, and you know, God's going to do that again, right? One of the last chapters, chapter 21 in Revelation says, but as for the cowards, the fatherless, the polluted, the murderers, the fornicators, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their lot shall be the lake of fire, which burns with fire, sulfur, and is the second death. In other words, God hasn't changed. He's waiting, just like he waited 400 years. And then with David, you know, it's 1,000 years. He's waiting. He's waiting for judgment to fall. He did that with the Amorites. But he's going to do it with the whole world one day, right? That judgment day is coming. Now, we're not in the quote, judgment business. It's not us. We're not here to judge people. We're not here to say, okay, you're a sinner, you know, and we're going to judge. No. We're here to bring salvation. Until God comes, until God, you know, brings that judgment day, you know, it's the time of salvation. It's the time to tell people about Jesus. It's the time to tell people that God has given us a way. He's opened a way for us to know him, to walk with him, to love him, to belong to him, right? So this is not judgment day. But in David's battle, he wasn't working on his own. When he stepped out in front of Goliath and he said, you know, you come at me with sword and spear, I come at you in the name of the Lord. In other words, he knew he was doing what God wanted him to do, because at that time, that's what God was doing, was judging the Amorites, judging the Philistines. And this is what, so here's another portion of the Old Testament that talks about this, Deuteronomy 7. So when the Lord your God brings you into the land where you are entering to possess it, and clears away many nations before you, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and stronger than you. And when the Lord your God delivers them before you and you defeat them, you shall utterly destroy them and shall make no covenant with them and show no favor to them. In other words, what did God want? God wanted a holy people. He wanted a people that was not going to worship idols. They were going to worship God. They were going to obey what God said. They were going to do what God wanted to be done. They weren't going to follow Dagon. They weren't going to follow Baal. They weren't going to follow Asherah. They were going to follow the Lord and listen to him and obey. That's what God wanted. And in order for that to happen, it had to clear out. This is the Old Testament. This is the New Testament. Clear the land of all the idolatry. Clear the land of those folks, because he was worried about it. Watch what he says. He says, furthermore, you shall not intermarry. That's one of the worst. Don't intermarry with somebody that doesn't have the same faith, right? You shall not intermarry with them. You shall not give your daughters to their sons, nor shall you take their daughters for your sons. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. See, in other words, God is concerned that being surrounded by the pagan idolatries, it would affect Israel. It would make them become idolaters, right? He says, you know, and the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will quickly destroy you. But thus you shall do to them. Tear down their altars, smash their pillars, hew down their Erechim. In other words, all these are idols, and burn their graven images with fire. In other words, destroy their idols. Burn down their temples. Get rid of it. For you are a holy people to the Lord God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession out of the peoples who are on the face of the earth. Now, again, we're in the Old Testament. That's what we're talking about. This is not Christianity. This is Israel. And God is trying to create a holy people. You know, the end of the Old Testament, it didn't work. They became as idolatrous as all the nations around them. They became as wicked. Two of the kings of Israel were, it said, they put their children in the fire. In other words, they were sacrificing their children to Molech. They were becoming as pagan as those things. Now, God knew that was going to happen. God knew that people are too weak to follow a law. People are too weak to be able to walk with him. So what did he do? He basically gave us Jesus. And Jesus gave us the gospel, right? And Jesus doesn't call us to come, you know, to him based upon parentage. Like if you were born in Israel, you were automatically an Israelite. No, you come by faith. Didn't come through battle. You came through the word of God, the gospel, right? So this was the commission of Israel. The commission of Israel was to destroy the idols, destroy the idolaters, clear the land. That's not our commission. That's not what God's called us to do. Jesus, after he was crucified, after he rose from the dead, he came to his disciples. In Matthew 28, he says, and Jesus came to them and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. It's a different mission. The mission of David was a different mission than our mission. The commission that God gave him was a commission of judgment and purifying land physically. We don't fight physical battles. We don't, you know, this is where some Christians get this wrong. I'm going to go and I'm going to protest, or I'm going to fight those guys. I'm going to make them stop sinning. You're not going to stop anybody from sinning by going to war with them. There's only one way to help people know how to walk with God and how to do what's right, and that's through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, our job, our commission, and we should take it as seriously as David took his, our commission is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, to make sure that Jesus, our Savior, is known. And he said, make disciples. A disciple is someone that says, I like what you teach, and I want to live the way you live. Jesus was always good, always did good, always compassionate, always loving. Jesus is full of mercies, full of life, full of all the great wonders of God, right? And he calls us to become like him, to be have that image of God in us. And how does it happen? It happens when we hear and believe in the name of Jesus. We believe that Jesus Christ is the one God sent to save us, that Jesus Christ is the one that God gave us, that when we believe in him, God actually gives us righteousness. God actually gives us the Holy Spirit. God actually gives us power to do what's right and pleasing before God. And when we stand before God on that great day of judgment, we're going to be okay because Jesus, our Savior, has made us righteous before God, has made us holy before God, right? And so that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to, you know, bring people to Christ. We're supposed to preach the gospel, and we're supposed to teach people how to live. We teach it by the word of God. We teach people, look, this is the word of God. But then we also teach it by how we live. We model it. We show it. We show it to our children. We show it to our friends. We show it to our neighbors. We just show. This is how God wants us to be. This is how God wants us to live. And we are empowered to do it because of Jesus and the gospel that he gave us. This also is a commission that's for the entire church until Christ comes back. Because look how it's framed. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to him. There's no other authority, folks. There's no other name. It's Jesus. And he says, I am always with you. You know, I'm so glad to have a Savior that's with me, to have the Spirit of God in me, to be able to know that Jesus and God the Father still love me and still are helping me to walk with them. And so I just pray that as we don't get confused about the Old Testament. Their commission was different than our commission. David followed God, and he was a man after God's own heart, but he was not a New Testament commissioned person. We are. And we're supposed to show the love and the mercy and the grace of Christ. We're supposed to show the world who he is and be a light to the world. And it's the only way for people to be saved. So, that's good enough. Father, just thank you so much for all that you do for us, for all that you've brought to us. And thank you, Lord God, for the good news of victory. Victory that we can have when we confess Jesus, when we call upon him, you, your Son, our Savior. Just thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
The glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the light gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood to every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done. And great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But pure and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Yes, Father, we thank you that despite all of our sin and all of our weakness, you didn't show us your justice and your wrath, but you showed us your mercy and your love through Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that as our commission is to preach the gospel and share it with everybody, that we would be equipped to do so, that we would know how much you love us and how you're always with us and helping us. Again, Lord, we pray for this church. We pray for our neighborhood. We pray that everybody would have a chance to hear and know the good news of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.